Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of What the How? And, you know, it's very appropriate to say what the how when it comes to things that you can get ripped off at during the holiday season. You can get ripped off with products that are counterfeit. You can get ripped off with products that are recalled and being sold anyway. You can get ripped off with credit cards that are fake. You can get ripped off with counterfeit. There's just so much stuff. So we have with us City Attorney Mike Feuer, the City Attorney of the City of Los Angeles. And this is an issue for him every holiday season. And hi, Mike.
And great to be with you.
Great to be with you. And talk a little bit about your concerns with regard to holiday scams and shopping problems.
Well, you know, certainly at this time of year in particular, it's got to be particularly jolting to a family if they don't get what they paid for, or worse, if they get a product that could actually be dangerous for them or their family. So we're doing everything we can to alert people to common scams, give them the information that enable them to protect themselves, and also we're taking action wherever we can to be assertive in being the aggressive consumer protectors that I want our office always to be.
It's interesting. You and I have talked before about a couple of things, and one of them was that brick-and-mortar stores are protected in the sense that if an item is recalled, it's against the law for them to sell a recalled item. But that's not the case for cyber sales.
Well, let me say,
is that right?
I don't think so.
Oh.
I mean, but there's no question, but their brick and mortar have to prevent recalled items from being on their shelves. But I'd assert that so too should the online sellers, especially
so should
when they're
be, but
the, well,
is it?
Well, that has not been tested in court as far as I know, but we're armed to test that if need be, particularly for the stores that have both brick and mortar and online presence.
Yeah, a lot of them are doing that now. There's kind of a synergy developing.
That's right.
Where if you're in the store and they don't have the item, you go to the computer, you type it up. If they got it, they'll ship it to you for free because you bought it in the store.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, again, particularly important for consumers to be vigilant when in those situations about recalled items, because our office was able to purchase a recalled child's bike helmet from, and we purchased it at Walmart.com.
And what Walmart told us, and we kind of went through a very interesting conversation with them, they told us that they have this thing called a marketplace, which is kind of like what Amazon.com has. It's a marketplace of third-party vendors. And it was a third-party vendor on the Walmart marketplace that had this product that you purchased that was not okay, and it was a recalled item. And so they said they had that third-party vendor take it off. But the fact is, your position is it never should have been on there in the first place.
It shouldn't take the City Attorney of Los Angeles to police Walmart.com's website and determine what items have been recalled, and only after we bring it to their attention have those recalled items removed. And we've been demanding from Walmart that they tell us the protocols they're going to engage in to assure this never happens. Walmart originally said, well, it wasn't actually from Walmart.com. We purchased it on Walmart.com. And the point is, we are not just focused on that store. We're looking at other major retailers to determine whether they are selling recalled items, whether in their brick-and-mortar locations or online, because sometimes those recalled items, like a bike helmet that may not work, that's a big deal if your child's wearing that bike helmet.
Well, it's got to be an interesting problem, challenge, to deal with the cyber world. It's so massive. It's so large. It's not like a shopping mall.
Yeah, it is. It is challenging. But by the same token, that requires us to prioritize our efforts. And I'm going to be telling our team, we should be focused on the intersection between consumer protection and public health. That is the bullseye for us when it comes to where we expend our efforts, because we are certainly historically very active in protecting consumers' dollars. The most famous example is when we got after Wells Fargo for the fake account scandal. But we're also focused on products that could actually hurt people.
Is the strategy in situations like this largely to pick something large enough that it resonates and people take notice? Because you can't possibly police everything.
Well, you know, our strategy, it varies. I will say, what does big enough mean? For one thing, for us, it means, again, when it not only affects a pocketbook, but the health and safety of families. You know, there can be recalled items that might be sold that could affect the health of an infant, for example, or your kid. And this is not to be taken lightly, nor, for example, should counterfeit items be taken lightly, because sometimes people are so riveted on finding the lowest price, often a steeply discounted price when no one else is selling it for that cheap an amount is a sign that my item might be counterfeit, as is packaging and labeling that is off in some way, misspellings on packaging. And these are signs that a consumer trying to make sure they spend the least money possible should think twice about that item.
Yeah, the spellings are really a big, big flashing sign. Don't buy
it. And it happens a lot. I mean, we see products that come through our office that are have very obvious spelling errors in them, and major sellers, major manufacturers will not have those errors.
It's interesting to me. I mean, these kinds of crimes that you're talking about and violations and whatever they are not new. I mean, you know, selling bogus products is not new. Selling counterfeit anything is not new. Counterfeit money is not new. You know, it's just, it becomes more sophisticated.
It does. And for example, people buy gift cards. Gift cards are a great idea for your teenage kid. But now there are sellers online in particular who are demanding gift cards as payment. And that is a sign that immediately, if you're a consumer, you should stop dealing with that seller. Because if you pay with a credit card, which is always the best way to pay when you're online, because there are some protections that come with your credit card, you get your money back if it's not an item that fulfills its requirements. If you pay with a gift card, it's like paying with cash. And you're not going to see that cash again except in unusual circumstances. There are some, if you catch it early enough, there's some small chance you get your money back. But by and large, paying with a gift card is a really bad idea. Buying a gift card for a loved one could be fine.
You know, it's interesting, though. I remember one day when I was at UCLA, and I was at the UCLA police station. I was doing a story. And there was a girl sitting in the lobby of that station in tears. Just in tears. And she had gotten one of those calls that she was going to be arrested if she didn't do this and that and the other. And she went out and she got gift cards. Yeah. And she did the whole nine yards. Then she realized she got taken.
Yeah. You know, the sometimes there's a fairly frequently used tax scam where people purporting to be from the IRS call and say, "You're about to be arrested." My wife got a phone call like that. When I was at your studio earlier today, and one of your employees got a phone call like that. And it's very jarring, but everybody listening to this should know the IRS is not ever going to call you and threaten to arrest you.
And neither is the DEA, the Drug Enforcement
Agency.
That's
right.
And we got a call. Well, we've gotten calls from every one of these things. The new one is Social Security, and the guy who called me in an accent couldn't say administration. So Social Security Administration came off really kind of wonky, and it was clear. First of all, it's always clear that a federal agency, a state agency, and a local agency, they're not going to do that.
And what they wanted from you, Hal, was one thing: your Social Security number.
Right.
And you should never, never, ever in a million years respond to a phone call and give up any personal information for a call that you did not initiate, in particular a call asking for something as sensitive as your Social Security number. They wanted to steal your identity. That was their goal.
What can the city attorney's office do to deal with these things? I mean, most of these callers and things like that are handled on a federal level, but they're calling from outside the country.
So it depends. When you're talking about the kind of scams that we're identifying, those might be pursued by the U.S. attorney and federal officials. By contrast, someone selling a recalled item or a counterfeit item, we're on it. You know, we've been going after, for example, sellers of counterfeit pharmaceuticals with some frequency. And think about how dangerous that is. To get a pharmaceutical, you're ingesting this medication, which you're suspecting is going to help you. It could have all kinds of adverse effects because it may be adulterated with other contaminants.
Do you think the internet kind of exacerbated this?
Of course.
Yeah.
No, and there's no question about that. The internet has done some wonderful things in the way sharing information and so forth, but there is this downside. And one downside is that scammers are always trying to find the next new way to circumvent protections online.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is that some of us, I'll just say me too, we can be suckers.
Well, they're counting on it. They're counting on even very smart people wanting to get a good deal here, or forgetting about the fact that maybe giving their personal information is not the world's sharpest move. And unfortunately, some of these calls work, which fuels more calls. Again, it requires consumers in this digital age to be increasingly sophisticated in protecting their identities, in protecting their wallets, and protecting their families.
Well, part of that is using apps, for instance, that can warn you about robocalls.
Yes,
and things like that.
And robocalls, by the way, this has been a gripe of mine for almost 30 years because, you know, this do not call list, which is a great idea in theory, has simply stopped being effective for most of us. And we get calls all the time. And what this does is really dangerous, Hal, because I see this in my family. We now don't answer calls from area codes or numbers we don't recognize. But sometimes there can be something serious at the end of that call that actually is legitimate. And we haven't picked it up. I had a situation involving a matter that was really quite important. I didn't pick up the call because I never heard from this entity before. It was someone who really needed to get a hold of me. And so there are all these side consequences from our attempts to fend off being contacted against our will.
I keep a landline in my house. We mostly use cell phones, everybody in the family, but I keep a landline. I keep a landline for two reasons. One reason is that if we had an earthquake and all of a sudden the cell towers went down, I might have another form of communication. The other reason I keep a landline is for all the salespeople to call my house. I don't answer that phone.
Yeah.
It's got an answering machine tied to it. And if that robocall comes through there and I don't pick it up, they're going to pass. Because what a robocall does is a computer, it doesn't respond until it hears a voice. When it hears you respond, then all of a sudden the computer kicks in and a customer service, quote-unquote, agent comes online.
Right. And so many of us pick up a call and say hello before we determine whether there's actually somebody else on the line. And, you know, sometimes I'll pick up the phone and I can tell that there's a silence there that is not the way human beings interact with each other. And then I just hang up.
Yeah, that's a quick sign right there.
Right.
What kind of holiday scams do we see when it comes to these kind of calls?
Well, a few different things are happening. One, charity, the fake charity calls are particularly significant right now because clearly we are, as a community, a community of people who care about other people. And especially around holiday time, scammers are trying to take advantage in the most insidious way of our concern for others. So if you get a call, I've gotten bombarded with calls from philanthropies of some kind or other, or these purported charities, I would never give my personal information in response to a call like that. I would always check afterwards if I'm interested in following up by getting information to get back to them. I'm going to look online to see if it's a legitimate philanthropy. I'm going to run on Google the name of the entity to see if there have been complaints about that entity. And typically, in response to charities, I identify charities myself to whom I want to give money rather than responding to some cold call online, on the phone. Another of a scam that we encounter all time of year is senior citizens get calls where the caller says, "Hi, Grandma," and there's silence, waiting for Grandma to fill that silence by giving up what the caller wants, which is the name. "Is that you, Jimmy?" And suddenly the person is asking for an emergency infusion of cash or a sale of or some sending gift cards to a location, and Grandma never sees her money again. That happens with frequency.
And that's not just phone calls. That'll come up as chats on Messenger and on different things
and
like online, that online.
And on email, too. That's right.
You know, it's really amazing. It almost seems like an industry in and of itself that has just grown out of proportion.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And by the way, one very important tip for our listeners is never to pay for items with gift cards. Very important. Buy them for your family, but don't pay for any item with a gift card because it's like cash.
Yeah, give the cards away. Don't give away. Yeah.
Right.
You know, I think the bottom line on all of this is somebody really needs to get their hands on this kind of a problem and start to deal with it.
Well, and one of the key goals I have had for our office, especially since President Trump took office, is to step in and be particularly assertive in protecting consumers as the federal government generally has retreated from being ardent advocates of consumer protection. And I don't wish that our office always has this role, but it really has elevated the importance of local public law offices like ours. And so we're accepting that challenge, and willingly, because we think that it's very important that consumers know we're in their corner.
But, you know, you only have so many people to work
in
your office. And so how do you deal with that?
We prioritize. As I said earlier, we prioritize by focusing on the intersection between public health and consumer protection. But we clearly have to make choices about the matters we pursue. And I think given the reaction we've gotten from the big cases we brought, we're focusing on the right stuff.
What is the most important thing you want to leave listeners with right now?
Well, you know, when we were on the televised air,
it was a program we were doing earlier together.
You did the right thing, which is to say, if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. And this holiday season, boy, when people are so tempted to save a few dollars, that's a particularly important message. It seems to be true. If anything, pause. Look up online what you're doing before you take that step impulsively.
That's good advice from the city attorney of Los Angeles, Michael Fuhr. Thanks for being with us. I appreciate it.
Hal, great to be with you.
And thanks for joining us for another episode of What the How. We'll see you next time. And by the way, if you haven't already, subscribe. See you later. Thanks.